NBC Radio News, a promise to reveal all details of any domestic spying by the CIA. I'm John Bohannon with word that Vice President Nelson Rockefeller says the investigation will be pursued all the way to the top, wherever it leads, and Mr. Rockefeller's words to a Republican president, to a Democratic president, or to anyone else. The Vice President talked to reporters on the CBS program Face the Nation and reacted to recent statements by the administration concerning force in the Mideast if the situation threatens strangulation of the free world.
Nations with collective security agreements have the right to take effective action prior to National Security Council action. Now, strangulation would be economic warfare, and therefore, to avoid death, which is what comes from strangulation, any nation would have the right to take action.
And Mr. Rockefeller repeated his support for the Ford administration's energy program, saying the president has shown tremendous courage. Senator Howard Baker says the Congressional Select Committee on Intelligence Operations will subpoena former President Nixon if it's necessary to find out about any domestic spying. More news after this.
Rick, reading is fundamental. When you give a kid a book, he's in a whole new world. Rick gives books to kids who don't have any and makes reading fun. If America is to grow up thinking, reading is fundamental. Please help. Write Rick, Smithsonian Institution, Washington, D.C., 20560.
They got the whole world.
U.S. carmakers have reported higher sales during the middle of the month as compared to the first 10 days of January, and they say it's because of the rebate plan. Today, the head of the United Auto Workers, Leonard Woodcock, had some criticism.
You can't cut prices if you're losing on every car that is sold over too long a term. Now, the reason the rebate program makes sense is because of the tremendous cost of carrying the huge inventories that were built up in the last quarter when the industry was not aware of the coming collapse of the market.
Woodcock was interviewed on NBC's Meet the Press. In Chicago, police report no new leads in a shooting incident last night at the International Amphitheater. It happened during a wrestling match. A man apparently enraged over a referee's decision pulled a gun and fired several shots. Five people were wounded. Reporter Charles Brogan has more from Chicago.
Chicago police have run into a brick wall looking for the amphitheater gunman. He could be hiding in any one of the thousands of bungalows, two flats, and taverns scattered all across the city's old stockyard district. So far, the only lead is a composite sketch showing a heavy-set black man about 40 years old with shoulder-length hair. Police are trying to track down people who might have seen the gunman. All those who were sitting near him say they don't remember much more than his description. And the police are facing a double problem. If a man is unbalanced enough to shoot at a wrestling referee, when will he shoot again?
You're listening to NBC News.
My mother works nights scrubbing floors just to get the extra money to send me to college. Now the school needs money. And my chemistry class may be discontinued. Without chemistry, I'd never be a doctor. That's Mama's dream. She's always praying I get my degree. Now, how am I going to tell her what's happening to the school?
A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Give to the United Negro College Fund. A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Supply ships broke through a rebel blockade today in Cambodia for the second time in 3 days and left supplies at Phnom Penh. One fuel tanker and two ammo barges reached the capital, but rebel guns hit one tanker and set it on fire. Tomorrow is designated as National MIA Awareness Day to mark the second anniversary of the Paris Agreement to end the war in Vietnam. A spokesman for the Ford administration says the United States is now considering a new panel to check up on Americans who are still listed as missing in action in Southeast Asia. In Saigon today, politicians opposed to the Thieu government held a convention and demanded the end of U.S. aid to Saigon. The delegates also demanded the end of the Thieu regime, but the convention ended when fighting broke out among the delegates during a march through the streets of Saigon. Several people were hurt. Egypt says Soviet Foreign Minister Gromyko will visit Cairo within 2 weeks. Earlier this month, Soviet Party Chief Brezhnev canceled his planned visit to Cairo. The Hour's lead story, Vice President Rockefeller says the investigation of domestic spying by the CIA will go all the way to the end. John Bohannon, NBC News.
Big Wilson and I bringing you this last day of Monitor. That's right. Back in the early days, though, Monitor, Bob and Ray, our standby comedians, we'll have them on, what standbys they were. If you never heard them, you missed something, but on our last show here, you won't miss them. We'll have them on shortly. Got to tell you, I don't remember this music, but maybe you do, from 1961. Blue Moon by the Marcells. Bom 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 dang 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 ding dong ding blue moon blue 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 blue.
Bomb, 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 b
Blue Moon, the Marcells. Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding, better known as Bob and Ray, appeared on Monitor's first program. And on our first full weekend of broadcasting, they did this sketch.
Hello again, sports fans. This is Bob and Ray in our telegraphic studio, all set to bring you a telegraphic recreation of the big ball game being played in Elmwood between one man's family and Pepper Young's team. Running down the lineup here for one man's family, at first base, Cliff. Paul will be at second base. Father, catching. At third base, Claudia. Hazel is at short. Jack will be in left field. Hanky in center. Pinky in right field. And on the hill, throwing right-handed, is Mother.
I've got the Pepper Young lineup here, Ray. And it looks like this is going to be a pretty matched game. Catching Sam Young. Over there at first base, Peggy Young Trent. And her husband at second base, Carter Trent. Biff will be at third. Pepper's sister Linda, shortstop. Left field, Hattie the maid.
Pick it up, Bob. They're already on
right.
The field.
Center field, just plain Bill, and right field, Papa David. These last two have just had to been added to the lineup because there weren't enough to make nine. On the mound, tall, rangy right-hander, Pepper Young.
One man's family, the visiting team will bat first. Coaching down at first base, Lorenzo Jones. Over at third, Stella Dallas and Lolly Baby. First up now for one man's family, Cliff.
Pepper's
right-handed.
Pepper's taking a long windup there, isn't he?
Here's the first pitch. Ball one, low and on the outside. This rate will be here till midnight.
Well, they'll be picking us up from Elmwood, USA throughout the afternoon. Here comes the next one.
There's a smash down to second base. Who's playing second base for Pepper Young's team?
Out of Trent.
Right through his legs in the right field. Cliff is rounding first, going into second. And he's in there with a stand-up double. Slid in to make it, too.
There's the next pitch. And this is to Claudia, I guess, isn't it? And she takes a big swing at it.
I don't understand this at all. The road weather conditions in Mount Washington. Hey, will you check the wire there, fella? There's something wrong here.
Sir? Speed limit 7 miles an hour up there.
Yeah. No, that's the wrong thing, sir. Look, friends, while we straighten this out, we'll be back with the rest of this game, we hope, as the afternoon wears on. Right now, though, let's return them somewhere in... Well, it's coming in now, all right. Strike two.
Bob and Ray. That's kind of an inside joke, but now you're on the inside, too. They were explaining to me, Bob and Ray used to sit in another studio. There are many studios here at Radio Central, and whenever they needed a fill, they'd say, Bob and Ray, be funny. And Bob and Ray couldn't find an ending to this one, and the man who was directing, Fred Way, was just telling me, he kept giving him a wrap-up signal. You kind of wrap up, and they kept shrugging their shoulders, saying, we can't find an ending to it. They never did, as obviously you'll see. They're wonderful guys. Remember Wally Ballou, the intrepid reporter? Actually, he was tripping. I remember that. Terrific guys, though. Very funny all the time. Well, what do you say we move on now? A little music, huh? How's that sound, say? Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods? Hey, that sounds exceptionally well. Here we go. Go, Bo. Go, Haywoods.
Who am I? I'm just a guy who only wants to try. Try to push me a bit too far, and every day
you think you are, huh? Bo Donaldson, the Haywoods, 1974. Monitor music through the years. More of it coming up right here on the Monitor Bacon. Bartholomew Tucker here, trying not to be sad here today on our last show. So, did you hear about the fellow who tried one of those new banana facials for men? Yep, you guessed it. He slipped on his nose. Oh, it could have been funny if done by someone else. I'm laughing to keep from crying. Now, here's a Monitor oldie for you. The Lion Sleeps Tonight by the Tokens. They're leading a lion in here for me right now. Go, Lion.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, the lion
sleeps tonight. See, I'm sitting here with Ben Grauer on our last day of Monitor.
This the last day, John?
The last day, yep. And it's, we're trying not to be sad here because we're having so many friends and the people like you who have such funny and fond memories of it.
Let me see, last day, I started in, Monitor started in 55, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
What extraordinary changes. I'm trying to think of some of the people who used to drop into Monitor. A lot of people came in live, and then some on tape. Nichols and May. Mike Nichols and Elaine May. They've had separate paths now, successfully, but they were a big comedy team. Ernie Kovacs was around doing spots with us.
Good Lord. He wasn't a communicator, but he just came in to do spots.
And Bob and Ray.
They told me that Bob and Ray used to sit here live whenever they needed something funny to say, Bob and Ray, do something funny.
That's right. Like they used to, the real old days of radio, we, you know, announcers in the beginning of radio had to be singers. I'm talking the real beginning, 1925, like the late, great Milton Cross. Because if something went wrong and the program that you were to announce didn't turn up, you could go to sing.
I never knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Alwyn Bach, Graham McNamee.
Huh?
Was a singer. Huh? And so and so. So similarly, standby comedians, Bob and Ray.
See, I worked with Mr. Cross for 5-6 years. You know, I said, call me Milton for heaven's sake. Yes. I could never bring myself to do it. I always said, Mr. Cross.
He was a darling, sweet guy. Yeah. Back to Monitor. I used to work with, as co-communicator with Frank Gallup.
Yes, yes.
And Frank and I had a wonderful, of course, we, you know, tease each other. The script department prepared the chatter for the communicators, but we didn't chat their way. We did our own chatter. We just went off the script like mad.
Did he ever do anything back, or was he just Mr. Suave all the time?
He was Mr. Suave all the time, but he'd have a way of saying little incisive things that had a little sting to them, but always in good humor.
Always in good humor. No bad times ever at Monitor, I guess, huh?
Surely at bad times. Bad times when they said, sorry, boys, that's it. That comes to everybody. Into each life, some cancellation must fall.
Yeah. When a guy on the other side of the desk says, that's it.
Well, JBT, I'm going to ask you. Here it is. This is the last of what? 20 years.
20 years, yeah.
I would say it's been two delicious decades.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Ben Grauer. Well, I guess we're recovered, and I'll say this. I can't sing, so I just have to talk. Don't let the sun go down on me. Here's Elton John.
I can't lie. No more of your darkness. All my pictures seem to fade to black and white. Left me blind.
Has a feeling the sun is going down on him. Good heavens, Holden. That's his Ape Shuffle. Yeah, a little Ape Shuffle there. Another half hour of Monitor's gone by, and I'm sad to say this is the last day of Monitor. But stay with us in our next half hour. Dave Garraway's interview with Eddie Cantor from one of Monitor's early broadcasts. We'll talk to Dave Garraway, too. I'm John Bartholomew Tucker. This is Monitor on NBC.
NBC Update. I'm John Bohannon with an update report on the news. Vice President Rockefeller promises to take the investigation of domestic spying by the CIA all the way to the end. He says it'll be pursued no matter where it leads, in Mr. Rockefeller's words, to a Republican president, a Democratic president, or to anyone else. And Senator Howard Baker of Tennessee says the Congressional Select Committee on Intelligence Operations will subpoena former President Nixon if it's necessary to check up on any domestic spying. Baker also says the committee will ask to see records kept during the Johnson administration. Tomorrow is the second anniversary of the Paris Peace Agreement on Vietnam, and President Ford has declared it as National MIA Awareness Day. More than 2,400 Americans are unaccounted for. In Los Angeles, police say they have their first solid lead in the search for the man called the Slasher. They believe he's the one who's murdered seven Skid Row bums by cutting their throats. The murders began December 1st, and police discovered the latest victim yesterday, and with it, a bloodstain that the killer might have left. Egypt says Soviet Foreign Minister Gromyko will visit Cairo within 2 weeks. Earlier this month, Soviet Party Chief Brezhnev canceled his visit to Cairo. Egypt's Foreign Minister Fahmy says he's received a message from Brezhnev and also a message from President Ford, but there's no word on what the messages said. And a political commentator in the semi-official Egyptian newspaper Al Iram says Russia is refusing to replace the weapons that Egypt lost in the October war because President Sadat turned down Soviet conditions. John Bohannon, NBC Update.
getting lost in her loving is your first mistake. Sundown, you'd better take care. If I find you've been creeping round my back stairs. Sometimes I think it's a sin when I feel like I'm winning when I'm losing again.
Bartholomew Tucker here, our last show. In the early days of Monitor, Sunday night was Dave Garraway's. We heard an interview Dave did with Eddie Cantor many Sundays ago. Right now we hear music.
Up the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolly. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Pop and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Pop the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolly. Pop the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolly. Together they would travel on a boat with billowed sails. Jackie kept a lookout perched on Pop's gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes would bow whene'er they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Pop roared out his name. Oh, Pop the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolly. Pop the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolly. A dragon lives forever, but not so little boys. Painted wings and giant's rings make way for other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more. And Puff, that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, like rain. Puff no longer went to play along the cherry lane. Without his lifelong friend, Puff could not be brave. So Puff, that mighty dragon, sadly slipped into his cave. Oh, Puff, the magic dragon. frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Up the magic dragon, lived by the sea, and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu.
Oh, that was a good one, huh? All fathers were running out to buy that record for the kids back when that was playing on monitor. Didn't even know all the hidden meanings in it in those days. Just take it home for a little Billy, let him play it. Hey, Nielsen, you like Nielsen? And then we'll have a great interview with Frank McGee did a while back. Here's Daybreak by Nielsen.
Here come the daylight, it's making me sad. Here come the sunlight, it's making me sad. Had a good time last night, best I ever had. Here come the sunshine, it's making me sad. So sad, so
Daybreak. You know, in the course of nearly 20 years, we've had our share of extraordinary moments on monitor and some very moving moments. Indeed, what we're about to hear is perhaps the best example of that. It occurred on a Sunday evening program when Frank McGee occupied this chair, and it was his interview with the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
I know that your home has been dynamited and that you have had threats made against your life on many occasions, and these are not idle gestures, as the fate of Medgar Evers in Mississippi so tragically demonstrates. I am certain that you've given some thought to this, and I would like to know what your feelings on it are.
Yes, I have given thought to this, and I go on with the feeling that this is a righteous cause, and that we will have to suffer in this cause, and that if physical death is the price that some must pay, if it's the price that I must pay to free my children and the children of my brothers and sisters and my white brothers from a permanent psychological death, then nothing can be more redemptive. I have always believed that unearned suffering is redemptive. And if a man has not discovered something so dear and so precious that he will die for it, then he doesn't have much to live for. And I go on with that conviction. I don't live with fear every day. I know that we've got to go on and do the job. And if I fall in this cause, then I think it would certainly be something worthy of falling in, and something worthy of all those who engaged in the struggle if they have to face this problem.
Dr. King, thank you very much.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Frank McGee, we remember. Well, you remember this sound all right, don't you? 20 years of it. You are on the Monitor Bacon. John Bartholomew Tucker and my old friend, come back to see me, Maria Muldaur.
Midnight at the Oasis, send your camel to bed. Shadows painting our faces, traces, the romance in our head.
Romance in our head. Oh, come on, come on, come on.
man named Sylvester L. Pat Weaver, there never would have been a kaleidoscopic phantasmagoria known as Monitor. Mr. Weaver, who was the president of NBC, conceived the idea for the program. And the term describing it, a kaleidoscopic phantasmagoria, was attributed to him. Pat Weaver, did you really call it that?
As a matter of fact, it was one of my best jokes. I hadn't realized that it had survived until this time. In the opening press conference, I believe it was the press conference, we went through all of the vignettes and the personalities and the philosophy of extension and personal magnitude, all the different little pieces we were putting together in this mosaic. And finally, one of the chaps from the press got up in what I considered to be a somewhat surly way and said, "Look, can't you just tell us what this program is in two words?" And I looked at him and I said, "Yes, it's a kaleidoscopic phantasmagoria," which, of course, broke up the group.
A little levity in the midst of your problems with network radio in those days, huh? Say, what were the problems facing you then?
With radio's trouble as attraction radio, as we used to call it, where the big shows like Fred Allen and Jack Benny and Bob Hope were sinking fast, if they hadn't been sunk already by television, the way you got people back to listen was to give them something that television could not do, even though it showed us the way in radio to do something that radio could easily do, but it never tried.
And you were convinced you had to try. There were skeptics, of course, who thought a 40-hour program was just too much, that you'd gone too far in your attempt.
I'm sure that there were more skeptics than there were listeners as we got underway, but the whole premise, again, of the continuous feed, interconnecting people wherever they might be and whatever hour of the day it was, with great personalities, ongoing events, true coverage of the whole world, the feeling from Radio Central that you were listening in to the key control place in the world. This was part of how we sold the concept to everyone, and that they quickly understood that it was always there, and that it was always, if they didn't like one segment, it would be brief and something else would come up, and it had a very, very wide range of variety of appeals, but they were all basically coverage of people, of places, of things, ideas, entertainment events.
The Today Show and The Tonight Show, also your ideas, are still successful, of course, but how do you feel now that Monitor has had its run?
Well, I'm saddened that the show is going off the air, because I think that such a show could be done and run properly, would continue and be effective both for the network and the stations and the advertisers. But I think, really, you've done very well, and I'm only saddened that that all of you aren't going to have Monitor there anymore.
Well, thank you, Mr. Weaver. Thanks very much. That was Sylvester L. Pat Weaver, the man who formulated the Monitor concept and who had the imagination to put it on the air. We all admire him. We wish him well. Back to the music we've played for you over the years. The Beatles, this one from 1964, I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Man.
music, 1964, The Beatles, I Want to Hold Your Hand. Monitor. On Sunday evening, May 27th, 1956, Dave Garraway sat in the studio in his chair, talking with Eddie Cantor.
Was vaudeville terribly demanding? Was there always the survival of the wittiest? And is there any substitute for that training ground for young comedians or actors?
As a matter of fact, it was not a grind. It was pretty easy. We like to think that it was tough. These are the hard days. The early days were easy because let's find out what vaudeville was. Small-time vaudeville was kindergarten. Then you graduated into big-time vaudeville, which was grammar school. Then you went into a Broadway show, which was high school. And you got in with Ziegfeld. You're in a university. Today, there is no kindergarten. There is no grammar school. There is no high school. You go immediately on television, which is your university. There's no place to break in. You might go to some nightclubs. You might go to some Catskill Mountain resorts. But actually, bing, there you are. And you play to more people in one night, in radio and on television, than we played sometimes in a lifetime. But the old days were nice days. Leisurely days, comfortable days. Call it the horse and buggy period if you like. But there was something gemütlich about it. Something warm and sentimental. And no great rush. And no heart attacks.
Yeah.
No heart attacks.
Gee, sometimes you just can't find the right words when you hear portions of past shows like that. That was Eddie Cantor talking with Dave Garraway on Monitor in 1956. That's about it, except to say that Dave will reminisce about his Sunday nights on Monitor a few minutes from now. Now, we have the Mamas and the Papas, and we have California Dreamin'. California Dreamin', another hour goes by. Hey, in addition to Dave Garraway, later Hugh Downs will be by, Sammy Kahn, John Chancellor on this last Monitor Day here on NBC.